you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with my friend, Arlita Winston, today. She is the mother of five children, the oldest of whom is Sarah, who is also a mother now. Sarah is the mother of Abigail. And there's a little story that Arlita told me a little about that I think involves some frogs that happened back when Sarah was a little girl. Can you tell us the frog story?
Yes, that afternoon, our noisy boys were out searching for these tiny green frogs to fill up their pockets with. And only the night before, I discovered their newly found diversion because I'd pulled some of the jeans out of the washing machine and counted 15 of those green, slimy things all squidged up. Well, never mind. This night, they were out looking for them again, but I would just simply remind them to empty their pockets in the garden before coming in to supper. But I was looking ahead and seeing a whole hour that afternoon where I had nothing to do and the boys were out busy looking for their frogs and Sarah was occupied. And I thought, well, I could do some embroidery or a letter to Mother or maybe a cup of tea. And then I remembered Joe's shirts had not been ironed. And I'd promised that they would be starched and hanging in his closet. I couldn't quite figure out how they hadn't gotten on my list that day. Yes, I really knew why. I simply found other things I'd rather do than to do those shirts. So I gathered up my will and I pulled out the ironing board, feeling a bit sorry for myself, wondering when I was going to have time for myself. And just then, 5-year-old Sarah came into the kitchen and she had made some wonderful mud cakes that were all neatly lined up, baking in the afternoon sun, and she'd decorated them with dandelions and daisies. But I knew by her look that she, when she stepped in, that she needed something else now to do while the cakes were baking. So she saw my ironing board and quickly washed her muddy hands and set up her own ironing board across from me. And having neatly arranged her doll clothes, she turned her full attention on me and said, "Now, Mommy, let's talk."
How old did you say she was?
She was about 5.
About 5.
About 5. And that afternoon, that sun just poured in on my heart, poured in through the windows and on my heart, because I realized that in pulling your will to do something, it not only gets the job done, but that time was such a precious time with Sarah as we talked, ladies talk. And the boys were happily engaged with their frogs. And yes, they did bring in more frogs that night. And there were other times I found them in the washing machine, all squidged. But it was just a very wonderful lesson to learn that I did what I didn't want to do. And it was rewarded with this very special time where Sarah just wanted to talk.
We were talking yesterday about your communication with Sarah now that she is a married woman with a child of her own. And I'm sure that there are many older mothers out there feeling very wistful hearing that story because they've lost communication with their married children. And they feel as though they've been put on the shelf and they're no longer needed and they wish they could communicate as you obviously can still with Sarah. Isn't it wonderful that it began way back at the beginning, mm-hmm. I'm sure long before she was 5. Mm-hmm. By the time she was 5, talking with Mommy was obviously something important. And she wanted to not only do what Mommy was doing, ironing her clothes, but also talk. So let that be an encouragement to the younger mothers to not overlook the need for real times of quiet talk with your children.
And snatch it up when it comes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to me, Arlita, it just seems so important that all of these hugely vital aspects of training children should take place within a peaceful home context. I think nowadays, with so much frantic activity and so much mobility and everybody going here and going there, people sort of get the idea that you've got to get out of the house where all the work has to be done, and you've got to have leisure time. You've got to go fishing with the boys, or you've got to go off hiking. And I'm not knocking those things. Of course, mm-hmm. there's a time for fishing and hiking, or a time to go off away from home to talk with your children. But most of what they learn is going to take place in
yes.
the home.
Mm-hmm.
And what could be more important than that sort of thing take place while you're doing your normal work? You don't have to stop everything and
no.
sit down with the child. I think sometimes my daughter Valerie feels guilty that she doesn't take more time away from her housework to sit down on a sofa with a child and a book. And I often remind her that it doesn't really make that much difference to the child whether she sits down with a book, if the child is allowed to be brought into the normal work of the house.
Oh, yes. And very early. I have a little granddaughter now, and nothing pleases her more than to stand up next to her mommy washing the dishes and just wetting the whole area as she rinses the dishes for her mommy.
To give children meaningful work, real work, that's not just play.
Yeah.
You're telling the story of Sarah ironing her doll clothes. That's, of course, not real work, but it is learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's beginning to get a taste for the real work. But there are some things that even a two-year-old can do to contribute to the housework in the home.
Yes.
Can you
there
give us some examples, for example?
Well, they could empty the trash in all the little waste paper baskets around the house. They could sharpen the pencils that need to be sharpened periodically.
Good idea.
They can make sure the pencils are there by the telephone. I don't know about
usually
you,
the
but
2-year-olds
gone.
Are making. Yes,
that's
I was going
right.
to say the 2-year-olds are usually the ones responsible for seeing that they're not there.
But they can be given a job every morning to make sure that there is a pencil and a pad of paper by the telephone. I think too that they can start very early in helping to set the table and to clear the table, at least with the silverware.
Mm-hmm. Valerie's children empty the silverware from the dishwasher. She gives them the little silverware basket. And they have to go and get mm-hmm. a little stool and climb up and put the stuff back in the drawer where it belongs.
And they certainly can start making their bed at that age.
They can?
At 2?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Now, you need to help them, but that becomes a fun thing. The trick is to do it on a consistent basis. And if you give yourself to doing it a few times, you get them launched.
But it's such a drag, isn't it? I mean, it takes so much time. You could make that bed so much faster yourself.
And neater. But pretty soon, they'll be learning very quickly to do it. And, of course, that's the whole goal. I know that our whole house was not just real clean at the beginning when I was teaching them how to clean.
When you hear the parents of teenagers deploring the fact that they take no responsibility with the housework, whose fault is it?
Well, the parent, they're the ones in charge. And you'd be amazed at how early children can learn how to scrub a kitchen floor, how to wash windows.
I have found with the graduate students who have lived in my house that the word clean is virtually meaningless to them. For me to say, "Would you clean the kitchen? Would you dust the living room?" They do not know what the word means.
Well, part of that is because I don't think that they've actually been trained to do little steps by little steps. And when the children were little, I would literally write out a list and detail what that meant to do that they could follow. Plus, I actually did it with them and showed them what to do. And this reinforcement then with the list where they can check off, have I cleaned around the bottom of the toilet? Have I cleaned the faucets? If they can check off these things, then I think it is too much to just say clean the bathroom. That's too overwhelming. They don't know what that involves.
Exactly, because I'm speaking of graduate students whom I would have expected to know. But obviously the reason they don't know is because their mother has not done what you have done with your children, mm-hmm. Arlita. And that is so important to teach the child step by step. And it's a very good idea to write it out on a piece of paper. But of course, all that takes time, doesn't it? Would you say that you spend more time teaching the child to do it than it would take you to do it yourself if you had to do it yourself for the next 10 years?
Oh, well, in the beginning, it certainly takes much more time, but it pays off because it wasn't too many years before Joe and I were able to come down to a fully set breakfast and have the children be putting the breakfast on a daily routine basis. And so it does pay off. But I remember when Sam stood in the kitchen floor mopping it, and he turned to me and he said, in all seriousness, he says, "Mom, what do you do?"
We're doing all the work here. Well, it's wonderful to see a responsible family like that. And I remember that weekend that I spent there. We came down, the three of us, you and Joe and I, all came downstairs at the same time. And lo and behold, the breakfast was being carried to the table by the children who had set the table and cooked the entire breakfast. And it was an excellent breakfast. Well, it is for real, the Winston family, believe it or not. They do exist. They are very normal, wonderful people. Thank you, Arlita, for being with us again. And we're going to have Arlita one more time talking about the making of a Christian family.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.